If you ever spend any time with a seven-year-old, maybe a five-year-old even, you better be ready for some questions. And if the kid is persistent, these questions could take you to a ridiculous place before too long. You start with something simple. Let's put on your socks, please. Why? Well, because we need to put on your shoes before we can put your socks on. Why? Because if you don't put on your socks, your feet will be sweaty and your shoes will get stinky. Why? Because when your feet get hot and the body tries to cool them down with sweat, the sweat doesn't smell good. Why? And unless you're a dermatologist or an evolutionary biologist or something, at some point, for me, pretty soon, you're going to run out of explanations, right? And even the experts in the field, if you get that dermatologist there to tell them why sweat smells stinky, they can get it down dozens of levels beyond where I could, probably to a cellular level or a chemical level. But at some point, as we try to explain smaller and smaller processes, there comes a point where we have to answer the question why with something like, because, right? Because that's the way things are, right? For us who believe, science is a description of God's work. We don't need to discount any of it. But at the point when science yet doesn't have answers for us, when it has told us as much as we can know, we people of faith come to a point where the answer to the why question becomes, well, because that's how God made it, that's why. And it's a matter of faith. This is the sense that I get in the first parable today from the fourth chapter of Mark. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. And here we are this morning, about 2,000 years of scientific knowledge later, but there's still this sense of mystery to this whole process, right? How do seeds work? Okay, yeah, you put them in the ground and they sprout and they grow. How? Well, it has something to do with temperature and moisture and sun. How? And that's pretty much as far as I can take it. I have to concede at this point that I don't know how it works, that it just happens. Apart from my understanding, effort, or control, there is something mysterious about it. But I believe those seeds will come up. At some level, it's a matter of faith, right? And this, Jesus says, is what God's rule, God's kingdom is like. Somebody has been out there casting seeds around, and they sprout and they grow. But even the person who put the seeds out there in the first place might not understand or be in control of this process and how it works. Which means that no matter how much we might want to, sometimes we just can't make those seeds come up, and neither can we, by what we do, make God's rule come on our terms. But you know, on the flip side, there are times when we just can't stop some frustrating seeds from coming up, and we surely can't stop the coming of God's kingdom either. Which is good news, isn't it? To those who are downtrodden, to those who are hurting, to all who are sick and suffering, to everybody who has to contend with sin and death and the power of the devil, and that's all of us, right? There is good news. The kingdom of God is coming. It's been planted, and it's in the process of unfurling itself, of growing, because what was buried in the ground has risen to new life. Jesus, who was sealed in the tomb, sealed into the ground by us whom he came to save, apart from our effort or understanding, Jesus is risen. And with him, he brings the kingdom of God. This is God's kingdom, where God rules, and that means that sin and death have no place. God's kingdom, where all things are being made new, God's kingdom that without our effort or understanding still comes. Thanks be to God. It cannot be stopped, not by the devil, not by the power of death. Jesus sort of made that pretty clear in the resurrection, right? And certainly it cannot be stopped by our blunders or by our efforts. The second of these little parables from Mark puts an exclamation point on this fact that we can't stop God's kingdom coming. We're talking about seeds again, right? This time the mustard seed. And you may have heard me say it before, but the mustard variety that grows into large shrubs in the Middle East is an invasive and nearly uncontrollable weed that grows 20 feet high in every direction. Quickly it grows, taking over everything around it. It's almost impossible to root out. And in ancient times, there were even laws on the books in some cities who had walls that said you can't bring mustard seeds within the walls of this city, because if you get even just one of those tiny seeds to fall into the ground and root, it's going to spread everywhere no matter what you do. And this is what God's kingdom is like, Jesus says. It comes without our effort or skill. Whether or not we want it, God's kingdom comes out of death, life, and the rule of God grows up big enough to provide shade and protection for God's creation. Thanks be to God. And this is where my sermon probably would have ended today if I hadn't watched any news in the last couple of weeks. But look, as people of God, there is more for us to say. And I think we have to weigh in on what the United States, what we are doing right now, separating children from their parents. Because despite what some people in positions of power have said on TV this week, I'm here to tell you there is no legitimate biblical defense for taking babies from their mamas. And what we actually get in the Bible sounds like this. From Romans 12, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Mark 9, whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. Hebrews 13, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Matthew 25, just as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Romans 13, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of all law. Deuteronomy 10, love the orphan and the stranger among you, for you were once strangers in the land of Egypt. Leviticus 19, when an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself. I could probably do these for 15 minutes more. I'm going to spare you that this morning. Unless you want to hear it, come talk to me and we'll do 15 more minutes. But the point I want you to take away is the biblical witness is exceedingly clear here about how we are to treat people. And look, this isn't about who you voted for the last time or who you're going to vote for the next time. This isn't about, for me, the left or the right, because I am sure that there is plenty of blame to go around for the mess that we find ourselves in. But what it's about is that we as people of faith have to be clear with our witness that there is not a moral or faithful or biblical witness for pulling children away from their parents, for using children as a bargaining chip, a threat, or a deterrent. Because they're children. You know what they're for? They're for loving, they're for nurturing, and that is it. That's the end of the discussion as far as our faith goes, as far as the biblical witness goes. And I think we know that, right? What impact, though, can we have? All of this happens far away. It's a big issue. But look, big things can come from small beginnings, right? Isn't there something in the Bible somewhere about, I don't know, a little seed growing into something big? Personally, I can't think of a better way to welcome the kingdom of God and to lean into its coming than to work to reunite children with parents whom they were forcibly separated from. What better way could there be to honor fathers today than by trying to unite a child with hers? So, will you join me this afternoon in an act of worship, in an act of pointing to the will of God by making some phone calls? I'm serious about this. Will you call an elected representative today and ask them, leave a message to make this right? I got stacks of phone numbers right here. I'm going to go during the hymn. I'm going to put some right here and in the back. Because 10 minutes this afternoon you could use to lean into the coming of God's kingdom by working for the will of God in the world, which is not that children would be separate from their parents. We are not the biggest church. We're not in the biggest town or in the biggest state. But look, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Let's do some sowing today for the sake of God's children. Amen.